Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
It opens wide to Wade. What a dunk! Fournier blocks the dunk. Here's Wade against Green. Euro step. Basket. What's up?
Welcome to the Heat Check. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, David?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm terrific. Glad to be back after, what was it, a week that we didn't have a podcast? Because I was moving and I didn't have internet and I'm awful.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I could have done it on my own, but it would be kind of boring just me talking to myself.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was going to want to listen to that.
Oh. You're supposed to be much more supportive than all that.
All right, so we have a lot to get to because we haven't talked for a while. Want to start off with some of this Heat versus Suns stuff. We'll get to these JaVale McGee rumors later, a little bit of Michael Beasley. Tyler Johnson dropped 26 points. But let's start with Heat versus Suns. Mostly the fights, less of the game. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy that game?
Probably I'd say a 9.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Because of the fights.
That was a big part of it. I mean, just the win probably counts for a couple points.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Goran Dragic play very well against his former team, that gets a couple of other points. But yes, definitely the fighting. It for a team that's lacked a fighter's edge and mentality for most of the season, to see it displayed rather literally there on the court, I appreciated that. And you know, that tackle by Hassan Whiteside, shades of PJ Brown. I tweeted it out at the time. That was a big plus for me. I really enjoyed seeing that.
How much of this do you think was the fact that the Heat just weren't going to take some? Because the Suns were dirty from the very beginning, and very rarely do I use the dirty term, but they were throwing elbows early. They were really being physical, but it seemed like they really wanted to get into a fight. They kind of provoked the Heat. So how much do you think it was from the Heat being frustrated with that, and how much the Heat just being frustrated with how the season's gone in general?
Oh, I would say it's almost 100% just retaliation against the Suns. I think the Suns, from their perspective, they wanted to prove to Dragic that he made a mistake by forcing his way out. You know, it's funny because I did write about it in the game preview how, you know, players share this kind of camaraderie there, at least publicly. They never begrudge anybody for wanting to make a move or going to get theirs. But at the same time, there's always the need to kind of remind you that you left a good situation, you're kind of pissed off about it, and they wanted to win. So I think they wanted to prove something to the Heat and to Dragic, and they were willing to do whatever it takes. And you can't discount the fact that they're fighting for a playoff spot, too. You know, that's crucial to how they approach the game.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I don't know. I'm also thinking, like, this team has Hassan Whiteside, Michael Beasley, Henry Walker, Udonis Haslam, Chris Anderson. I mean, Anderson, we kind of gets that, but he's really pretty even keel during games. But just in general, just guys that are going to stick up for themselves. I think it was just a matter of time before we saw a fight, right?
Yeah, but I mean, your point is that you think that they've been itching for a fight for weeks now.
No, not so much that, but just guys that have a known edge, a known frustration, like guys that maybe aren't itching to fight but are susceptible to getting into those confrontations.
Well, sure, but Morris elbow upside the head, or an Alex Len, you know, knee in the thigh or something like that, chances are you're probably going to be a little pissed off as the game wears on, and you're going to want to do something about it. I mean, I think a lot of people have seen Whiteside over the course of this season, you know, from his getting more and more experience. People are playing him kind of tough, you know. I think they're being very physical with him, and I don't know why he's not getting the calls. I don't know if it's just kind of like the whole Shaq mentality. It's like you're the biggest kid on the court. You don't get any kind of foul calls or something like that. I'm not quite sure what the rationale is behind the officials. Maybe they don't like his personality. Maybe he bitches and whines too much. I don't know. There's a whole lot of different politicking going into how players get calls in their favor. Regardless, I think as fans, we've seen a lot of Whiteside getting, you know, hacked here and there and not getting the foul call that you think he deserves. Having said that, he was getting beat up pretty good yesterday by Alex Lynn. I mean, that kid is there for a reason. He's 7'4", whatever. He's very physical. He's all, you know, sharp elbows. He was, you know, hitting Whiteside every time he would get in the post. And I think it just got to a point. I mean, that one specific play, you want to break it down. But, I mean, it looked like, you know, he tried to push off of Len. He got the dunk up. And then when he came down, you know, they just locked arms. And then Len just tossed him to the side there. And that was enough. That was too much for him to take, Whiteside. I mean, he didn't want to handle anymore. And that tackle, that was beautiful. I think a lot of the footage, I don't know if you've seen it. Did you see like the bros in the front rows there as they were seeing the fight take place, that they're all, you know, pumping their arms back and forth, up and down, excited about the whole thing?
It's great.
That's not doing a lot of good for the Miami Heat crowd, I can tell you that.
Well, the Miami Heat crowd, that ship sailed, right? I mean, everybody hates us anyway, so.
I'm a little surprised they didn't play what's the name of that song that they were playing all throughout the Big Three era?
Seven Nation Army?
Yeah, that's the one. I'm sorry. I totally blanked out there.
So do you think that Whiteside deserves to be suspended?
I think if you're going to judge, the, you know, you're asking my opinion whether I want him to, whether I think he deserves it. I don't think he deserves it because I think that the NBA is too soft overall. I mean, if you go back 10-plus years, the level of physicality in the NBA game has changed so dramatically, you can barely touch somebody. I think the breaking down of a flagrant foul into a flagrant one and a flagrant two, I know why they've done it. I think it makes it easier to adjudicate in games type situations whether or not a foul is, you know, warranting an ejection or not. I understand that's the principle behind it, but I think it's ridiculous. Even a flagrant two, more often than not, shouldn't even be called a flagrant. Not the way I remember basketball being played years and years ago. So, to me, I don't think he deserves it, but I do think he'll get it. Now, having said that, I've seen a lot of comments from him to the media where he seems genuinely apologetic, and I don't think he's that polished as a speaker yet, so I think he's playing it very, very well. You know, I want to say that it's enough to show that he's contrite and that he's, you know, upset about the way it happened. I think he even said that violence is not the answer, which is kind of ludicrous. It's not like a 1960s peace rally or anything like that. But, you know, he recognizes that he kind of screwed up. And I think, you know, that's going to be definitely a factor in the NBA and when they weigh the decision. But it was a tackle in the legs. I mean, it's not like, you know, these, you know, they get into a slap fight and eventually you're pulled apart by a 5'10", 185-pound referee. You know, this was actual contact where one player, Whiteside, who's 7 feet tall, tackles another 7-foot player and goes, you know, tumbling into the crowd, into the ground. For all the good publicity it's gone, I think the NBA wants to curb that as much as possible. So I think a suspension is coming.
Yeah, I'm thinking a one-game suspension sounds about right. He probably deserves, like, for retaliating, I don't think you deserve to get suspended, but you're right. When you just go linebacker tackle, yeah, you're probably going to get suspended. Might just be more of making an example at that point.
Right. Do you think he deserves it, though, like from a personal opinion?
Nah.
Right? I mean, I think we're all in agreement. I mean, I'm sure every Heat fan, I haven't seen any Phoenix fan perspective, but from a Heat fan perspective, everybody's like, hell yeah, go tackle that mother, you know what? I think they've been pretty happy with the fight side cheers and everything else, so I think that's it's interesting, you know? We haven't seen that side of him, you know, kind of like, I wouldn't go so far as to say a gentle giant because he's certainly cocky, but it was good. You know, he's been getting hacked, like I said, for a long time now, so it was interesting to see him retaliate there. And I think Alex Len is kind of a goon. I would say that he's probably kind of that goon type mentality. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah. Something that I've seen from Whiteside lately, he really tries to establish his dominance early in the games. You could tell he knows obviously that he's bigger than everybody else and probably stronger than most everybody else on the court. Seems like he's really been like trying to establish his dominance early. I noticed it especially against the Magic, against Nikola Vucevic. He really kind of started taking it to him early, and I think the Heat are making a point to get him the ball early in the paint or in the post. And he's trying to be physical. He doesn't want to give up the ball. He's always trying to go over guys. He's really just trying to dominate them physically with his size. And I think all of that takes a part here because he's wearing his emotions on his sleeve all the time. It's probably just a matter of time before those emotions kind of bubbled up to the surface even more. But we see him get really pumped and excited and literally just scream after getting a rebound put back. And in his post-game quotes, he's always very emotionally honest. Even from something like his 2K rating, that was a legitimate thing. You know, he knew that he wasn't even in 2K and that his rating probably wasn't great once he got into 2K. Like that, he knew that, and that was an emotional thing for him. So I think he's just that kind of guy. And I don't know if that should necessarily go along with being immature or even thuggish, which I don't think people are really calling him, but I don't want it to kind of lead to that. It's fine to be emotional and get pumped. I think that's okay. And I think we kind of are in a situation in the NBA where it's almost shocking when a guy is so emotionally vulnerable like he is. And I think it's also refreshing to see it, and he's going to learn from not this experience, learn not to tackle people like a linebacker. But I don't think that those emotions, hopefully, are going to, curve off, and we're going to see any alterations with that, because I think that would be a shame, because I get a kick out of seeing him get as pumped and just outwardly excited when he's playing well as he does.
Yeah, he's certainly demonstrative. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to change either. The thing, though, when you have to understand in terms of how games are officiated, we've seen it from Dwayne Wade for over a decade. I don't think anybody likes him complaining so much that he doesn't get down on defense and might not actually even bother going up the court, And we've seen it from Whiteside a little bit where, he's arguing a call because he gets hacked on his way to a putback or something like that. Then they take possession, the opponent takes possession, and he's there kind of like hands up in the air going, "Hey, why don't I get the call?" And that's not a good thing. It's one thing to be, demonstrative after a good play, not so much after you get, you miss a shot or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that you say that you think he's trying to establish dominance early, because I've seen, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, because what I've seen from him is that he kind of saves himself a little bit. Like, there have been games where, I'm trying to recall one in particular where I think I sent out a tweet saying, is he hurt or something like that? Because he looked really sluggish to start the game. Like, they were throwing these, passes into the post, and he wasn't really catching them, and he wasn't finishing at the rim with the same kind of explosion that he'd had earlier this season. And I was wondering whether or not he was still hurt. And then in the third quarter, all of a sudden, that's when he started getting a number of rebounds. I think he wound up finishing with 14 points in that one particular game, and he was really a factor in the third, not necessarily in the first quarter. So I'm curious to see what his scoring is by quarter over the last few games, because I'm noticing that he's kind of saving it a little bit, and you're saying the exact opposite. So
you're talking about the Suns game right now?
No, in general.
Okay.
Because you said he'd been like, that you think he in the Orlando game.
And I think it started then, and I don't know if it's necessarily something that translates to the box score. I just see him in the paint trying to get position. He might not even get the rebound, right, or even get the ball. But I just see him really starting early to aggressively go after guys. Like, put that forearm in the chest. Put, you know what I mean? And
so it might not translate into production or stats.
Correct.
But he's establishing position early in the first quarter because he wants to say, look, you're not going to move me. This is where I'm going to be for the rest of the game. And then that works out. That kind of supports both of our theories in that he's kind of saving it a little bit.
Yeah.
Once he's established position in the first quarter, then he can dominate in the third or whatever to have you. Whatever.
And that might be just the old, NFL big running back kind of situation where he's just pounding and pounding and pounding.
Right.
And eventually that third and fourth quarter roll around and he's able to, and he's just got a little bit more juice than the other guys do.
That's a good point.
So I should mention that as of time of recording, we don't know if Whiteside's going to be suspended. So either way, I think our opinions hold up, but we don't know if he's suspended or not. So let's move on to the other phenomenon that the Heat have. Tyler Johnson, 26 points against the Suns out of nowhere. I like Tyler Johnson. I was excited when this team signed him to the Sioux Falls Skyforce.
Yeah.
I compare him to Russell Westbrook, not in a hyperbolic type of way, but just in the way he moves and just his level of don't give a shit is very similar to how Russell Westbrook plays. And I'm obviously not saying he's up to that level. He just right. kind of, you know what I mean? Just the way he moves kind of like looks like Westbrook. I don't know.
It's like maybe half of Westbrook's athleticism with the same kind of carefree attitude, at least. You know, is that what
yeah.
you're saying, basically?
Yeah. It's just his mannerisms and just like sure. the way his body type are very similar to Westbrook.
Oh, I don't know. I think Westbrook's a little bit bigger, more imposing than he just. Tyler just looks really small out there, right? I mean,
yeah.
he's certainly wiry. And he's
yeah, like in that wiry sense, I guess, is the way I'm trying to phrase it. I'm not phrasing this
I mean,
right. I'm off.
No, it's okay. He is a rookie, so, I mean, there's the potential for him to put on muscle mass and still be even more explosive. The thing is that, you're right, if you're capable of putting up 26 points when you weigh, I mean, $160, $170, I don't know what they list him as, but he doesn't seem like he's a very heavy guy. You know, he can continue to progress, put on muscle, and keep some of that explosion. He could be a legitimate scorer, and he certainly has a three-point range. He went 3 of 3 against Phoenix last night.
I mean, we've known that, right? Ever since he signed with the Skyforce. I mean, he was nailing threes in the D-League, did it to an extent in the Summer League.
Yeah.
So this is
yeah.
not new, you know?
No.
And he does a really good job in the pick and roll, much better than Chalmers.
Yeah.
Seems to handle the ball better than him.
Does this mean that Napier falls out of the lineup then? Because you start giving the minutes to Tyler Johnson as a backup too.
He's been playing better than Napier.
Oh, without a doubt.
So I mean, I'm not in charge of the rotation, but if I were, Johnson's probably won that job over Napier right now.
You know, and I know it's a topic that we're going to discuss later on, but if you do bring in an additional player to the roster, I know a lot of people would think that maybe you might. You have to clear up a roster space. Why not, you know, send Shabazz Napier to the D-League where he can get a little bit more experience?
Well, that wouldn't clear up a roster space.
Would it?
I don't think it will because he's signed to the roster. If you have the guy in the D-League, I don't think you can.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it still takes up a roster spot, which is why I've heard, I think it was, I can't remember what podcast it was or what reporter it was, but the idea of the league with going forward with the D-League, creating a couple of roster spots specifically for the D-League. So extending the roster to like 16, 17, 18 players, but those one, two, or three slots would be for D-League guys so that you can basically hold on to them so that they couldn't sign elsewhere, which I'm all in favor for. You know, I'm huge D-League. I'm all in on the D-League. I went to the D-League showcase and I was all in after that.
Yeah.
But we talked about Tyler Johnson's maybe putting on some muscle. I think there's a lot going on in his physical development. If you see where I'm going with this, he's got the nickname Bumpy, which I think is a really unfortunate nickname, and I think we all know why his nickname is that.
I don't.
Are you trying? You just want to get me to say that he's got really bad acne on his face?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's cold blooded. I had no idea.
That's what I think it is. Maybe I'm just evil.
Bumpy. Oh man, that's, you know, Jesus. I mean, that's like eighth grade, you know, high school type.
It's horrible.
You know, Bumpy. Why don't they just call him Pizza Face and get it over with already? Christ.
Would you rather be called Bumpy or Norris Cole? It's, I don't know. That's pretty bad. So he got 26 points. He gets to shed the nickname. All right. I know he's on the rookie contract. Maybe he can get, what's that called? Proactive? Look, that's a medicine. It's a, you know, it's fine. It's
hey, I'm familiar with Proactive. It's know? Just anybody who has insomnia has seen Proactive.
That is absolutely true. That's the only time I've seen it. Yeah. Or is this like two insomniacs on a podcast? This is
yeah,
what happens.
Our next podcast will be at like 3 a.m. or something like that when I have no idea and I've been watching like I don't even know what channel at this point. Yeah.
Something called IFC and you're not even sure what you're watching.
I'm familiar with IFC. I've been watching a lot of, I think down here it's like called MeTV, which is like oldies shows and stuff like that.
I think
like
I might really have old. That.
Oh, it might be limited to just Southeast United States. Because you wind up seeing a lot of like I Love Lucy and
nice.
The TV show starring Boris Karloff, you know, I mean, great stuff. But at the same time, like I'm like hallucinating at this point. I haven't slept in days and it's just like I don't even know what I'm watching anymore, but it looks great.
I completely lost. Oh, we need a new nickname for Bumpy.
Yeah, well, don't call him Bumpy.
Right. So, I floated this out there, and I think this has absolutely been rejected. T-Plane? Not great. Okay, well, because he's a high flyer. He
can dunk. I get it.
And that's it. So, like, T-Plane.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt this, but former Heat Project Justin Hamilton waived by the New Orleans Pelicans.
That's unfortunate.
That is.
I wonder if he'll sign with Sioux Falls.
I hope so.
He played there a little bit last year. That'd be nice. I'd like to keep him in the Heat system.
Okay, I think we're starting to get some news regarding Whiteside here. I haven't seen anything.
Oh, my phone's going off.
Uh-oh.
Hassan Whiteside not suspended for scrum with Suns Alex Len, but fined $15,000. Len got fined $20,000. Ha, we win.
Yeah, because apparently from Ethan Skolnick, they determined that Len started it and Whiteside escalated it. So apparently that's why he's getting fined. Oh, and I'm seeing a tweet from Chris Broussard saying that Golden State has major interest in signing JaVale McGee.
I just saw that. So, basically, what we knew before was that the list was long in who's interested in McGee. And then Dallas popped up, Miami popped up. That was Mark Stein. Broussard's now saying Golden State. So, I think that we're just hearing more names on this list, right?
Right.
But it makes sense. I mean, all right, let's just talk about JaVale McGee now. We're never going to figure out a nickname for Tyler Johnson. Sorry, Bumpy.
Well, all right, let's wrap that one up, because I know this has been bothering you for weeks now. Ever since he first signed to the team, I think, didn't you propose Pusha T at one point?
Pusha T was one, because T-Plane didn't work. I kind of just side with rapper names and just try to adopt it into the white basketball player that he is. So,
well, if you're gonna go white, I mean, we just saw one on the internet.
What was it, Baby White Wade or something?
Baby White Wade, which I think is terrible.
Horrible.
I just don't know. They don't play the same.
Not even close.
Smaller
just,
than Wade. I don't get it.
They're not even like, they don't play the same.
Right. No, it's not. There's no correlation there.
It'd be one thing to call like, if Victor Oladipo was white, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but then we're still kind of
being like that weird race nickname. Comparing to another player. Like, you don't want race in a nickname, and you don't want another player's name in your nickname. Right?
Well, I mean, you had Baby Jordan Harold Miner for a long time.
That wasn't a good nickname, though.
Yeah, he wasn't a good player, though.
What?
He wasn't a good player, so.
He wasn't a good player, and he went, probably because he didn't have a good nickname. If he had a better nickname, he probably would have been better.
I don't know. I don't think it works that way. I don't think it's a chicken and egg thing. I mean, I think you're a good player regardless of your nickname sometimes.
Agree to disagree.
Well, I guess. I mean, King James, is that really a good nickname?
It's a great nickname. And they gave it to him in high school, and he turned out to be one of the greatest NBA players of all time.
Well, holy Christ, I thought he gave it to himself. I thought that was the whole knock, is that he crowned himself King James.
Well, where do you fall on this? Are you okay with players nicknaming themselves?
No, I am not.
Huh.
I don't think anybody should go through life nicknaming themselves. I have spent my entirety of my existence without a nickname.
You're not in the NBA.
No, I realize that. But, I mean, don't your friends have nicknames for you at times?
Not anything they call me to my face.
All right.
But, no, it's just they call me by my name. That's my name. That's the reason for having a name.
Hey, man. Now you're making it sound like getting a nickname is something ridiculous. Friends make up nicknames for each other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I'm never really. I don't think I've had a nickname that I think about it. They just call me Wes. I mean, I've had nicknames for my college buddies. My name is really easy, Wes. It's like just you barely have to work to say it.
Yeah, but that's not why people get a nickname.
That's true.
Know? It's not just to shorten your name. It's not like you're saying, you know, you don't go from Bill.
You know what? I do have a nickname. People will call me Goldberg, but they'll say it like in that Mighty Ducks way.
Yeah, that's not a nickname.
No. Well, kind of. It's my name, but they say it with a different inflection. I don't know. Now we're in a whole other realm of nicknames.
This is ridiculous.
This conversation's insane. Probably because we haven't slept in like 26 hours. But
so Tyler Johnson, explosive, athletic.
I've heard Tyler the Creator after the popular rapper, one of my favorite rappers.
Just give people rap names. I mean, that's just
Tyler the Creator. That's his nickname.
But he's not very creative. Rap, Tyler Johnson's not very creative.
Yeah, he just kind of does. You know, he just does things on the basketball court. Yeah. Well, he's a shot creator. I kind of get that. I mean, he scored 26 points.
He's a little fundamentals. How about that? You're going to go big fundamentals with Tim Duncan. You go little fundamentals with
Tyler Johnson.
That won't work either.
We just need to figure something out that's not bumpy. Maybe we'll just call him Tyler Johnson for now.
Yeah.
I'm okay with people nicknaming themselves as basketball players. Because I think that's like the whole brand building. Like if you're going to make a sneaker, you can make your own nickname. If you're going to open up a clothesline or you know, star in a commercial, I don't see why you can't just continue to build your brand with a nickname. I don't see the problem with that. I mean, rappers, they create their own their names, right? And we learn to know them by their rap names, aka nicknames.
Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes somebody gives them, you know, a nickname or says, "Holy shit, you're this," and that kind of sticks, you know.
And I'm okay with that too. I'm not like black and white. I'm just okay if a NBA player doesn't have a nickname already and he thinks that there's one that fits, or something that his, you know, posse and close group of friends has been calling him anyway.
Yeah.
Then just be outwardly saying like that. This is my nickname. Like you guys don't have to create one. I've had a nickname for the last 15 years with my friends, and this is it.
I will counter that argument with Kevin Durant, who has one of the best nicknames that I've ever heard as far as creativity, and it just seemed to make sense, especially the last season.
The Slim Reaper?
The Slim Reaper.
Great nickname.
That was fucking awesome.
What does he want to be called? The Servant?
Yes. And that's horrible. That's exactly. This is my final, and I think that's 100% shuts down the argument right there, in that nicknames, they cannot give themselves nicknames. Because then you're going to erase Slim Reaper in favor of the Servant. That is terrible.
Well, ultimately, right, it's the fans that trump it. It's the fans that trump everything. If they have a nickname that sticks and it's awesome, that's what we're doing. But, you know, players have given themselves, like Black Mamba, didn't Kobe create that? Like, that's a cool nickname. We like it. Swaggy P. Nick Young created Swaggy P. We love it. So I think if it's like, I don't know, maybe we should stop, like, considering the source of the nickname and just consider the nickname. And the nickname in general, the best nickname trumps everything, regardless of where it came from. So if the player comes up with it, if the fans come up with it, if the media, whoever, it's the best nickname wins, right?
All right. Well, how about this? We should talk to somebody over at the Miami Herald and maybe have them open up a competition or something like that where they could name, you know, give a nickname to Tyler Johnson. Because they did that many, many years ago for Steve Smith when he was with the Heat, and he had a nickname that didn't last, but it was Steve Tricky Smith. I don't know if you even remember.
Yeah, I remember that. That didn't last?
No, I don't think so.
I kind of knew him as, like, I didn't really know him as Tricky Smith, but I kind of heard that nickname. I've known that nickname.
Yeah, exactly.
That was fan. I didn't know that the Miami Herald did a poll for that, though. I didn't know that.
Yeah, some fan brawl.
So we got to get Joe Goodman on the line here. Hold on while I, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to get him. But
That's Cloud fans right there. In fact, this guy has, you know, he's got a lot of clout in the industry. That's great.
Yeah, and some great technology, because I'm gonna phone him via a podcast. Just recording through GarageBand.
Okay. Well, I think either the Herald or our own loyal listeners should, you know, chime in and let us know what Tyler Johnson should be nicknamed.
Maybe I'll open up a poll on allyoucaneat.com. I don't know if I could. We'll have to get a few. So how about we do this? Listeners, tweet either at drommel13 or at WC Goldberg. If you have a good Tyler Johnson nickname, just tweet us, and we'll use it in the poll. And if we get enough of them, I'll just put a poll up on allyoucaneat.com with a nice little story. And we'll just try to get a few votes and just try to really figure this thing out, because he deserves better than Bumpy.
Absolutely.
Okay. Doing the Lord's work here on the Heat Check. So you kind of hinted towards this. if they do sign JaVale McGee, right? Because we've heard that he might be... Tyler Johnson, you really can't cut him. Henry Walker just signed his second 10-day, which doesn't mean he's on the team for the rest of the season, but it looks like he's probably going to be on the team for the rest of the season. And then you have Beasley, whose 10-day contract expires in the next few days. Friday, I think, I want to say. I'm not sure. Just off the top of my head, but... It kind of... You know who hasn't really played? Zoran Dragic.
Oh, but you can't...
But you can't waive him, right? And I had this issue, and I didn't want to kind of voice it, because I was, like, more excited to get Goran. But with Goran, you get Zoran. And he's kind of just a roster hold, right? He's just kind of... He's handcuffing a spot on the 15-man roster. Because you don't need him on this team. He doesn't serve a purpose. With no disrespect to Zoran, but this team doesn't need Zoran. This team needs other positions. So you hope that somebody like Tyler Johnson doesn't get waived because you can't waive Zoran because of Goran. And I don't think that would happen, but now you're kind of... You're really only working with a 14-man roster as opposed to 15. And with the team being as injured as it is constantly, that's important. Just one roster spot.
I'm thinking, if I had to make a guess, we're not going to be able to get McGee anyway. I don't think there's enough of a lure for him here. Although, we do have that medical exception, right? I mean, if we want to use that to lure him here, that certainly would be a big plus for him to join Miami.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if things progress and he's interested in coming here for that exception, and he can get more money here than he can anywhere else, I mean, you know, he says he wants to play for a title contender,
mm-hmm.
but he hasn't played for a title contender ever, so I don't see why that would necessarily change now. I don't think he's the kind of guy who really cares all that much about winning a title.
Why do you say that?
Does he ever strike you as being a guy who's, like, interested in winning?
I don't really know him that much. I don't have a... I don't know, I just because he hasn't played for a title doesn't mean he doesn't want to, you know? Maybe he's sick of not playing for a title contender. Maybe he feels like playing for a title contender is the thing that he needs to kind of, you know, add some gas to his career a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't get that sense from him, and you're right. I'm probably being a little unfair in assessing the kind of player he is or the person he is, because I think it's more about the person than the player. But, I mean, he's played for perennially bad teams for a good long time now. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's had some postseason, you know, success.
Yeah, he had that great series /, like, few games, you know, 2012 or something like that.
He's been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he does. I didn't get that sense for him. This is a guy who's more about the keep cashing them checks sort of vibe. That's what I'm getting from him. And if you're winning or not winning, I mean, look, he agreed to a buyout, so he's going to get paid anyway. If he can get more money and come to Miami, you know, why not?
And that's the Heat's kind of thing, right? It's find guys that are getting paid anyway and just sign him for nothing.
Right.
Which every team would love to do, I think.
Aside from the roster spot and what that would do, do you think that he's necessary?
Necessary? No. Do I think he would help? So I wouldn't dip into the luxury tax. So the Heat can use, I'm not sure the exact numbers, they don't have to use the full exception, which is $2.65 million, but they can use a part of it and still not dip into go over the luxury tax threshold. Don't go into luxury for JaVale McGee. You don't do that.
Right.
Especially when you're, even with McGee, he's not changing the balance of power. He's not really adding, you know, like, are we going to win a series because we have JaVale McGee? Yeah. Or not? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't even know where he'd fit anywhere. Like you've got Anderson there who knows the system, probably plays much better defensively than McGee does. Maybe he's not nearly as explosive as McGee can be, but I mean, where are you going to find minutes for this kind of player? Are you going to shift Anderson over to the power forward position? Maybe, but then all of a sudden you take away the scoring ability of, you know, a Walker or Beasley, who have done pretty well. I mean, they've given you what they can, which is mostly scoring at this point. So Udonis Haslam's going to fall out of the lineup altogether, and they're starting him right now. So it's interesting to see where he would even fit. I was curious why Miami even showed interest is reportedly showing interest in a guy like McGee, just because even his personality doesn't seem to mesh very well with what the Heat are trying to do.
Yeah, and hold on, I think that's my phone going off. 1 second.
I like it. It reminds me of either, like, you know, say Coming to America or something like that.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I was talking about your ringtone.
Oh, really? This is my iPhone ringtone. I don't know. I might cut that out, and I might not. Who knows?
I think you should leave it in there. I think it shows a little bit of your humanity to all the fans.
Yes. I'm not a robot. I'm a human that has a cell phone that occasionally rings.
Despite your being a twin, I think.
Okay. I just knew it was a matter. I'm not a twin. God. That I dug my own grave on that.
You sure did. I mean, I don't know what to say. I think... It's interesting because I'm glad I share this in common with Zach Harper, you know, now that we're such great and close friends. But, you know, I thought there were more people who were a little bit opposed to the whole concept of twins. I know that they're going to happen.
I can't stand twins. I'll just come out and say it. Well, I'm going to overcompensate here. I'm just going to say that I can't stand them. And I hope none of them are listening to this podcast.
You lost two listeners at once. That's the thing.
Triplets, you're fine. You're good. Yeah. Can't lose three listeners at once.
No, that's. I'm glad you clarified that.
I want to be in the I don't like twins club with you guys. That's all. I'd rather be in that club than the club with all the freaky twins.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I guess we will see what happens. Just a matter of time before we see what happens on that front. We'll have an update on the next heat check and we'll. What's going on, if I have a twin or not. JaVale McGee, who doesn't have a twin that we know of.
Whose middle name is Lindy.
Well, Lindy.
Lindy.
Yeah.
JaVale Lindy McGee.
JaVale Lindy McGee. Old
there's,
Lindy.
There's got to be a story behind it, right?
Yeah. We got to get media access. Sorry, Michelle Roberts. We need media access. That'll be our question. Instead of standing around drinking coffee, we'll say... So what's the deal with your middle name, JaVale? I feel like players would probably like that question more than some stupid questions that they're asked typically. Like, how did it feel to win the game? Felt good. It's a stupid question. Moving on.
Well, I think they said that. I've seen players in the past kind of say that they appreciate somebody who knows a little bit about their tastes or their life outside of basketball. Like, how's your son? Or... Mm-hmm. You know, what was that you were listening to, et cetera. They're more comfortable talking about things outside of just what happened in the game. Because that's their job. I mean, picture how anybody would feel answering questions. I mean, I purposely get uncomfortable whenever anybody asks me what I do or, you know, what I explaining my job to them, especially when you're on, like, a big platform the way the NBA is. So maybe it makes more sense that way. I didn't think that they'd want to talk about something outside of basketball.
Yeah, like, hey, did you listen to the new Drake mixtape?
Right.
That's a fine question. You can't use it for an article, but... Well, maybe you can. Who knows?
Yeah, sure.
You play for the Raptors, maybe. Whatever. I wonder if all the Raptors players get free Drake stuff. All right. JaVale McGee. I don't think we finished that. Are you pro or against signing McGee?
I like it. Because I'm conditioned to do so because it's a big name. Mm-hmm. But if you're really determined to bring in a big man, I've been maintaining all season long that Ken Birch is a very good option. Why not bring him?
Yeah. I think if they sign McGee, it's going to be something for next season, right? Do you think you can get him now, sign for a couple of seasons, right? Because he's going to be paid out next year, too, with like $13 million. You sign him for something... like the league minimum or near it, and you have him locked in for next year, maybe Chris Anderson's retiring. If you're the Heat and you know that Chris Anderson's maybe leaning towards retiring after the year, which is possible, right? We haven't heard otherwise, have we?
After this season?
Yeah, after this season or even after next season.
Well, he signed for next season.
Yeah, so. Or after next season. Yeah, so he'll probably he'll play next season. But if you're looking for depth, right?
Do you want three centers? I mean,
you got to be okay. Well, you got to know that Chris Anderson is going to continue that down on the downward arc of his career, right? So he can give you about 15 quality minutes on average. So let's assume next year he's giving you 10 to 13 quality minutes on average. You know, just for regression. Whiteside's playing upwards of 30, hopefully 33 to 35 minutes a game, right, without fouling. But you're worrying about him fouling out some games. Chris Anderson not being healthy. Haslam not being healthy. That's why you have a guy like McGee. But McGee's got to be able to buy in and say, okay, I can sit on the bench, make the league minimum, make $13 million still from the Nuggets, and be used how Spoelstra uses everybody else, more not so much rotational, but more like a bullpen. Am I, I'm going to play 0 minutes some games, and I could play 20 minutes the next game. If he can buy into that, which is really the situation with all Heat free agents, pretty much,
yeah.
You know, if you're not going to be one of the top eight guys, then I don't see a problem with that because you're paying. If they think that they can fix him for, and again, not looking for it for next this season, but looking next season, if they think they can utilize him for a few games here and there and get him at a really cheap price, I don't see the reason why not.
So who do you move to accommodate him?
Beasley or Walker, right? That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. I think Beasley is just—he's such an interesting figure in Heat history. I mean, he's already become like a fan favorite. I mean,
he will always be a fan favorite, right?
I guess so. I'm very curious. You know, we haven't had a chance to talk about Beasley because we didn't do the podcast last week. But I can't understand exactly why he holds such a place in Heat fans' hearts.
Let me finish up the really quick. If they do waive Beasley, right, it's going to be because they don't think that he's going to... If they even sign McGee, it's going to be a next season move, I think. And if they don't see Beasley fitting in next season, and if they already start gearing up for next season just for that one roster spot, then I think you move... Right? That makes sense. But I think... I kind of alluded to this when the Heat signed Beasley. I kind of posted this a little bit. It's very strange because Heat fans kind of buy in with the organization's mentality that we like basketball priority players, right? Guys that just want to go in, go to work, and play basketball for Pat Riley and whoever else is on the in this organization. But yet we've loved Michael. Like there's this weird, you know, on and off relationship with Michael Beasley, who just typically doesn't do the work, right? That's kind of what we've heard, that he's immature, kind of clowns around a little bit. Nobody was more excited about the fight than he was last night.
Yeah.
You know, read into that what you will. I don't know what that means. But,
yeah, he doesn't strike me as a physical guy either, but he just...
He was fist pumping with the fans. He was like, yeah, fight. I love this.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't rushing. He didn't try to get on the court or anything. He was just enjoying it as a spectator. How could you not love that guy? He's just a lovable goof.
You know, he's gotten into some kind of legal trouble.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's played, except Miami, right? Not here. Like,
that's true. That's true.
So there's never been a knock on the person he is here in Miami.
Right.
The player, sure, he's had his ups and downs, but whatever. They still seem to adopt him like he's their big goofy son that they just are willing to make excuse for. I can't put my finger on it because you're right. I mean, you can't get a more straight-laced organization than Miami in today's NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the regime that Pat Riley has instituted, he is the complete opposite. It's almost like, I know you and I have talked about this in the past, like how every team needs a team jackass.
Yeah.
He's almost like the actual scapegoat, like in the sense that like the actual origins of the term scapegoat, where you put all the town's sins on one goat and send him out into the goddamn desert in the hope that he'll die and take all your sins with him. And that it's like, look, the rest of us are going to be as uptight as possible, knowing that Beasley is going to take all of our tomfoolery and embody it completely for us. So he is the team scapegoat.
A little comic relief.
Absolutely.
Screw JaVale McGee. We can't get rid of Beasley. And I love the Beasley Walker little duo that we have.
That's true.
It's terrific. I want to talk about that a little bit because we have that, the Heat kind of, or like that straight laced team, like you said, but they've signed Whiteside, right? And his problem was immaturity. That was the knock on him. Beasley, Walker, who's had his issues, who had to change his or alter his first name to be more mature, right? Interested in JaVale McGee, who's immature. That's the knock on him. They're kind of willing to risk, and there's that ongoing flirtation with Andre Blatch. They're willing to risk it on these guys, and they've typically done that, you know, even with Eddie Curry and those, and just guy after guy, they're willing to have a project player here and there. But it seems like this year, there's more of those projects, and as we're going through the season and more guys get injured and they're trying to make this playoff push, they're willing to go after those guys with quote-unquote baggage. Is what I'm getting at here is the Heat were had that straight-laced, you know, mantra. Was that because they were winning? They can kind of get it. They could be picky, as opposed to when they're losing and they can't really afford it. They have to actually chance those guys. Like, we see it all the time in others, every sport. Bad teams are the ones that chance it with the baggage guys.
It's interesting because, I mean, you have to look at where the doctrine comes from as far as that straight-laced approach, and that's sort of like Pat Riley. And for all the talk about Riley being, you know, glitzy and coming from L.A. Showtime, the reality is that who he is as a person was born and bred in Schenectady, New York, from a former coach, father figure, and so he, you know, he's always been very uptight, very straight-laced himself. That's just the kind of guy he is. Like, Riley is very much a blue-collar type guy, and so when he came to Miami, he instituted that kind of defense mentality, and a very hardline approach to playing basketball, and how he wants people, he doesn't want knuckleheads on the team.
Right.
So that's kind of extended throughout his whole tenure there. I wonder if now that he's not coaching, you know, maybe they're willing to take some more chances on
it's Dr. not really his problem anymore.
Let Eric figure out how to handle a nut job like Bees. You know?
Really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because Beasley's only played for Spoelstra. He was never there. Right. He was drafted the year that Riley retired. From coaching.
So I also kind of think there might be a certain type of knucklehead kind of guy that they go after, right? The guy that's willing to change. Maybe, you know, there's got to be interviews and stuff. They don't just call the agent and said, we're signing your guy, right? There's meetings. We've heard about these meetings. It's like, okay, what are you going to do? They did this with Whiteside, right? They tried him out, decided they didn't want him. They had a meeting with him, decided they didn't want him. And that was years ago. And now then they brought him back this year and he kind of changed. He was willing to take that next step. Maybe they're willing to just chance it on guys that they feel that they can fixer-uppers, as opposed to just dumps, right?
Well, I mean, maybe more to that point about Riley is that he's always had a reputation for guys that have been forged through the fires of failure. You know, his reputation in New York was that he was willing to take on guys like Anthony Mason, rest in peace, and John Starks, guys like that, you know, were languishing in the CBA, the now defunct CBA, and they didn't have any kind of reputation. They couldn't catch a break to get to the league. He brings them in there, and all of a sudden they become key components of his New York Knicks playoff teams. So, you know, even a guy, if you go back in the Heat organization, a guy like Ike Austin, who had a bad reputation, he played his way out of Utah on the 76ers, was fat and heavy, and languishing in Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, Riley said, look, we like your ability, lose the damn weight, and you can get a spot on the roster. And he did. And eventually he played his way out to a new contract, and Riley had to trade him. But, I mean, I think Riley may be more than willing to take a chance in knuckleheads. He wants guys that have failed and recognize that they're on their last leg, that they've got no other chance at this. And if they're willing to do the work, which it's always been the case here in Miami, then there's a spot for you on this roster. So, I mean, Beasley, he's saying all the right things, right? I mean, he's talked about how he had to go to China in order to find himself, and you know, he seems much more level-headed, which is very unusual to put level-headed and Beasley in the same sense. But maybe he has. Maybe he has shown a little bit of maturity this year, and that's a big plus for the Heat organization. There's no denying his ability, at least offensively. And against Phoenix, he played really well defensively.
Yeah, he did. I think he might. And if that China thing is really a thing, you know, I want, regardless of X's and O's and what position we need, I still pick Beasley over McGee every time because he's Michael Beasley. If that if this works out, if he gets a second 10-day contract, signs for the rest of the season, improves in the offseason, re-signs to a real deal, and actually ends up, you know, with this kind of rebirth of a career, there's going to be a 30 for 30 on that China trip. I want to know everything. I want to know everything from him eating horse meat to him scoring 59 points in the All-Star game. I want to know everything. Because that would be a terrific documentary.
It's one of those things that it's a little too late, right? I mean, you'd have to go back there and have the crew film him as he's doing it.
Or just, we can get interviews. I'm sure there's film of him in games, you know, spliced up with in-game film. I'm assuming they watch the games on TV in China.
I think you put a great idea out into the universe, and I see it happening.
Well, I can only hope. Let's do serial and not serial really quick.
You got it. Time for the serial or not serial music brought to you by Lucky Charms.
No, ew. Frosted Flakes.
Sorry, I don't know who the sponsors are. You handle the business side of it. That's true.
Well, definitely not Lucky Charms. I don't deal with leprechauns. They just steal all your money. Just not good business partners.
They're right there next to Twins on the I Hate Them scale.
Twin leprechauns is like nightmare.
That is nightmare fuel. Wow.
You're not sleeping tonight. No. Not that you were in the first place.
Right, I wasn't planning on it anyway, but thank you, Wes, or whatever your nickname is.
It's not Bumpy. All right. Milk and cereal. Cereal, cereal. So Wednesday, tomorrow night, the Lakers.
Yes.
Swaggy P, we've established this team's cereal. When you have your own shoe closet or your own shoe keepers.
Yes.
Two of them. Not just one. How hard is that job that there needs to be two? Or it's just maybe it gets lonely in the shoe house and they just need company.
How much of what he says is legitimate and honest?
100%.
Do you really think so?
Yes.
Like that story that we heard, how he had to fight off a dolphin who wanted to, you know, try and sex up on Iggy Azalea.
100% believe that.
Really?
Have you seen Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, but as a dolphin, I can't say that I'd find it.
Did you know that dolphins are the only other animals on this planet that have sexual pleasure?
Yes.
So, what doesn't make sense in this story then? I don't understand.
I don't picture dolphins swimming around and going, that ass, and looking at the azalea and saying, damn, boy, gonna hit that. And next thing you know, it's Swaggy P being going, oh, boy, I gotta defend my girl's honor here. I don't know. It just seemed a little too much even for Swaggy P.
I think he elaborates his stories, but who doesn't? He's human. I just, as a human being, I think he's authentic. I don't know. That's what I choose to believe, and that's my perception. And good. A life with an authentic Swaggy P as opposed to a fake one is much more worth living.
If you're gonna be as historically bad as the Lakers are anyway, why not have as much personalities on the team anyway?
Thank you. And I don't understand why more teams don't do that. That is, I think NFL teams specifically should do that. Like when the Dolphins were really, really bad,
yes.
And they're kind of average right now. But when they were really bad, they had no personalities on that team. And the first personality, they kind of signed Reggie Bush there for a little bit, and then they actually kind of got good a little bit.
Right. I think it's part of the reason why people don't like the 76ers so much. I know that they've been very vocal about their efforts, but they've also, like, who the hell do they even have on that roster that you can consider a personality?
Well, Joel Embiid, right? But he's not playing.
Right.
But, like, and that's the thing, when the guy's not playing and he's the only personality on the roster, you get sick of that one voice after a while, right? And we've kind of seen a backlash of Embiid lately. So it's like, well, he kind of needs a partner in crime. Yeah, I'm all for, like, if you have the team jackass, you also need the team personality. And I think that's a real thing that actually helps teams. Like, a team personality, if everybody's just straight-laced and serious all the time, what fun is that? And everything I've heard about Swaggy P is, like, people enjoy playing with him because he's just great to be around in the locker room. His smile is contagious, et cetera, you know?
Now, having said that, he totally conflicts with Kobe Bryant.
But he likes him, right?
Who?
Kobe, that's what I've heard. He's got nothing but respect for Swaggy.
Wait a minute.
Look this up.
I don't think so. I think
I've read it. And if I've read it on the internet, it must be true.
I would think that he's only doing it because he doesn't want to create any additional drama. And he's not.
Does that sound like Kobe?
Right?
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he wants to attack a player publicly, especially now towards the twilight of his career when he's not playing anyway. I mean, what we've seen from Kobe Bryant this year is him insulting all of his teammates and being on and off the injured list. So I don't know how much honesty you're going to get from him about Swaggy B. That's just my take. I think if Kobe was playing and they were actually competing to win games, he would have only so much he could take from Swaggy P's attitude.
I think we should both do a little bit more research on this.
All right.
And we will do a Swaggy P podcast. A Swaggy podcast.
That's our next roundtable discussion. And
ooh, yeah. I like that. It's nothing to do with the Heat, but whatever. We'll just, you know, we're sponsored by Lucky Charms or something, so what's the difference? Friday at the Wizards.
Oh, wait. Lakers serial win against the Lakers? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a win, right?
I mean, with Whiteside not getting suspended, I think I like our chances a lot better.
Yeah. And Dragic, that'll be interesting to see how he plays against the Lakers. Because they don't really have much going on defensively at point guard, so he might have his biggest game in a Heat uniform.
The Jeremy Lin, Mario Chalmers battle is going to be huge.
That's going to be something to make sure, if you're not watching it live, record it.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. Do you have internet in place now?
Obviously, that's how we're doing the podcast.
Damn it, you're right. So, I mean, are we doing our boozy breakdowns, or is that not going
to
happen?
We got to talk to you after the podcast about that.
All right.
I completely forgot something that's very important in my personal life.
I know how that goes. All right.
That I have to take care of tomorrow night. So I'm going to actually not watch the Lakers game live. I'm going to have to watch it Thursday morning. We'll reschedule the boozy breakdown for sure, though. Friday at Wizards. Are the Wizards cereal or not cereal? Because they were cereal at the beginning of the year, and I think they're into less cereal now.
I think so, too. I think their recent struggles have put them under a microscope that they didn't expect to be under, and they don't seem to be enjoying basketball as much as they did.
Yeah. And something I think we talked about the first time when we judged whether or not the Wizards were cereal. If Nene plays, they're more cereal.
Sure.
And we saw that dunk he had, what was it, two nights ago or something? Where it was just, you know, like when he plays, they're cereal. But they are less, I would still say cereal, but less cereal. And that's because it's like 60%, 60-40 cereal. Okay. And that's only because of Nene, because he's been playing. Hammer. And what?
The Polish Hammer.
And the Polish Hammer. And because of those John Wall Foot Locker commercials.
Okay.
Where do you stand on this? Are you okay with this?
Yes. Yes, okay. I agree.
Saturday, Kings. So we've played... Okay, so they were cereal. Then they weren't cereal after they fired Mark Malone, right?
Right.
I think they're more cereal now. It seems like they're kind of putting it together.
I haven't watched them in weeks. And that was one of the things I regret is I really wanted, you know, I had been hoping to watch more of their games when they started off really hot and you know, Boogie Cousins was playing at an all-world level. I was interested in watching their games. Then he gets hurt. They kind of start falling apart. They fire their coach. Things get worse from there. I stopped watching them altogether. So if you have a different perspective than I do, go for it.
I think just they were very, very surreal. They were at peak surrealness at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
Less surreal after they fired Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Boogie kind of stood up and said, look, you know, this is our coach when it was, who was it? Ty Corbin? No. Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
I was just arguing with my twin just for a second. But and now they are with George Karl. So I think they're more cereal now. I think they're solidifying it. They got like a nice full bowl going on. So not where they were at the beginning of the year. So the Kings are your team that I feel like I always have a team where it's like, oh, I really want to watch this team. They're doing really well. And then I kind of forget. And this year's team for me, I guess my Kings, is the Milwaukee Bucks. I wanted to watch more Milwaukee Bucks, and I feel like I haven't watched them as much as I wanted to.
I don't like your broadcasting crew.
Yeah, I find that I mute a lot of broadcasting crews, and I put on music or just listen to something or silence.
Are we going to talk about your issues with the Heat broadcasting crew?
No.
Okay.
Not in a public forum. I have no issues. We're going to keep that to private email threads.
Perhaps that was the twin that we don't like talking about.
That's right. Monday, Celtics. Cereal, right? That's no doubt.
You know, that's an interesting one. I mean, aren't they, like, they're competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah. But they're doing it silently. Silent cereal.
How are they competing for? They lost Jared Sullinger. They traded away Rajon Rondo. Is Isaiah Thomas thriving that much there?
He's better than what they had after they traded Rondo, you know? Like, they have a guy to actually run an offense through. So I think it works for both parties for now. I'm not sure Isaiah Thomas is the answer point guard down the line. Like, I don't know if Isaiah Thomas is your point guard for a title contender. But for a team just to make the 7th, 8th seed in any conference, I think he could be your point guard. Just run pick and rolls with him. I have no problem with it. I think they're kind of cereal. I mean, Brandon Bass is a cereal kind of guy.
Yeah.
Tyler Zeller. Yeah. Both Zellers. Talk about twins, right? They're twins. Or are they just brothers?
Sorry, I forgot. Evan Turner's on there. That's like automatically cereal, right?
Yeah, that's true. Especially when he's playing point forward. Love that.
That's scary. I'm looking at their roster right now. They've got Shalik Randolph on there.
They have Jay Jonas Crowder.
Jarepko. Yeah, Jay Crowder, Jonas Jarepko.
When did they get Jarepko?
I guess they acquired
him. That's one of those other weird leaks in the trade deadline.
Yeah. When everybody was looking at Enes Kanter and Goran Dragic instead, somehow Jonas Jarepko slipped through the cracks.
There's a bunch of players like that. Like, Ish Smith got traded, right?
3 times, though. I think that was different.
Yeah.
I think he might have been waived by New Orleans.
Yeah.
He was sent to New Orleans at some point and then waived there and landed in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, he's playing for the 76ers now.
Correct.
It's just weird. Like, it's been 2 weeks since the trade deadline? 1.5 weeks? It's like a week and a half. And I'm still finding new oh crap, he got traded? Like, it's just the weirdest thing. This I've never been part of a trade deadline like that. Where you're like, oh, that guy got traded? He's playing for the Celtics now? Like, well, I literally just learned that Jarepko was on the Celtics.
There have been so many trade deadlines that have come and gone and without much activity taking place. This was insane. I mean, what was the statistic that I don't remember exactly what the percentage was, but like something like 40% of the league got traded this season at one point or another. Is that right? 40%?
I don't know if it's 40%, but I heard something. There's something like that. It was like an enormous number.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Maybe in the 1960s, 70s ABA, where franchises were folding over like a $15 check and a bucket of chicken. Maybe you would have that kind of player movement, but in today's NBA with a strict, CBA in place, how is that even possible that you would trade out with that many players? But that's another conversation.
Yes. All right. Well, that was our last round answer. We'll get back to the podcast next Tuesday. It was nice to get back on here.
Yeah, I missed it.
Yeah, it was good to talk about this. Takeaways.
Sorry to interrupt. No. Like I said, hopefully by then we'll have a new nickname for Tyler Johnson.
We'll have a new nickname for Tyler Johnson. So again, listeners, tweet us your nicknames for your nickname proposals for Tyler Johnson. We'll put it into a poll. It'll be a lot of fun. And maybe we'll sign. By then we'll hear about Beasley, right? So we'll know if he signs a second 10-day contract.
Yes.
We'll definitely talk about that. All right, David, thanks for joining me.
You got it, Wes.
Thank you for listening to The Heat Check. Check us out on iTunes. Find us on SoundCloud. Follow me and David on Twitter. He's at DRommel13. I'm at WC Goldberg. That's where you can tweet your Tyler Johnson nicknames. Thanks for listening. We'll check you out next week.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.